from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Change of moving to the city of Memphis. Because when you're moving things, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life that matter. And Black Tie Moving will handle it like it's their stuff. And they'll show up when they say they're going to show up. And they'll stay on the bus that you guys agree to. I know because I've used them two different times. And if I ever move again, I'll use them a third. Give them a call. 316-6196 is the phone number. Great guys, easy to get on the schedule, but you got to call now. It's moving season, and moving season is always here. It's Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. Every around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Oh, man. Started my Monday with some sad news. And I'm going to say sad news. Cooper Flagg. Who is, let's just call him what he is, all right? A lot of people will be uncomfortable about this. A lot of people ain't going to like this, but it's just the reality. He is the great white hope. That's what he is. He's the number one player in the 2025 draft class, all right? He's going number one to the Brooklyn Nets, most likely. He is the face of white American basketball that we have so longed for since Larry Bird. Let's go back that far, right? He could be that guy.
I thought you were going to say TJ.
Not quite. But he could be that guy for us. And why are we talking about him today? Well, he decided on a shoe deal. And these are important. There's an entire movie that is made about the choice of one Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I love it.
It's called Air.
Yeah.
Because he went Nike.
The speech.
Right.
It's great.
You got Chris Tucker in there. You got Ben Affleck in there. Matt Damon in there.
Yeah,
sorry, I get those guys confused.
More talented.
But Matt Damon also was in it, right?
So, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was Ben Affleck in it?
Yes, Ben played Phil.
Okay, yes, they're both in it.
Matt played Sonny.
Okay, they're both in it. And then others. There's a star-studded affair. Viola Davis, right?
Mama.
Yeah, she was in there.
Jordan.
It was a star-studded cast about the decision of Michael Jordan and what shoe company he was going to roll with. And what I am here to tell you is that there will be no such movie for Cooper Flagg. Because Cooper Flagg has signed with New Balance. Not Nike. Not Adidas even. Not even Puma. New Balance. So this was a devastating development for me because, as the face of white American basketball, you want there to be some swag, right? Like, you want there to be, a chance, right? where like, okay, like we're gonna not only are we gonna like take back the lead a little bit, you know, we're gonna like look cool doing it. We're gonna have our shoe, we're gonna be mass marketed, like this is gonna be great.
Take back.
Yeah, we're gonna take it back. Take it back.
When did you have it, fool?
Bro, 1973.
You talking about Bob Cousy and them?
Yeah, bro, we used to.
That's how far back you got to go when you had it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Cous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget Pistol Pete. But I felt betrayed. I felt betrayed when Cooper Flagg signed with New Balance. This was me.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, okay.
But Nike probably, what they said, you know, we've only got so high, we're going to go for you.
Right. Well, I don't
have to think.
Yeah. So New Balance, I think, has Maine connections. They have Maine roots.
Ah.
So he's from Maine, and so the
Maine event.
Yeah. And so there. I don't know that must have they must have been you know tugging on the heartstrings. But as for me, when he signed with New Balance, this is how I felt in my house.
You were the chosen one. It was said that you would destroy this and not join them. To the force, not leave it in darkness.
So every white man has a progression, right? They're supposed to end at the New Balance. That's supposed to be like that's the arc. You know, you start maybe at the Nikes, and then you end with the New Balance. I remember your spots. I remember your, you know, there's a half old white man in there.
I think Ron's doing it.
Yeah.
He's ending with
it. And you're
him.
Like, what was your tagline on the New Balance? Like, you used to have a tagline. You know, you do remember it, or maybe you blocked it out at this point, but you used to love talking about them New Balances.
I could remember it again. We'll have to see.
Oh, you could. You meant the price, right? But you had some kind of tagline. But yeah, like there's just nothing about a New Balance shoe that is swaggy that makes me want to buy it. There's nothing drippy about it. You have no Riz with New Balance, no aura.
Not with the young people, but again, why are you still trying to relate to young people if you're an old person?
Well, it's not about me.
Mature.
It's not about me. It's about Cooper.
You'll come around.
I don't know, dude. Like you could like this.
I'll give you about five more years. You'll be happy in a pair of New Balance. You won't care.
This could have been something. I'm a Nike man, bro. That's what I wear. I wear Nike shoes. That's all I wear. I'm just loyal to the Nike. You know, I can't be out here. I've bought Pumas once because it was a Super Mario edition and I wanted to have them. Other than that, I'm a Nike guy. I have the Jaws. That's what I wear when I hoop in. If I have Raiders gear on, it's Nike. It's sideline gear. Like that's what I wear.
You hoop in the Jaws?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, I look forward to the Jaw 2s. I look forward to seeing what they're all about, you know, if we've upgraded since then. So, it's Cooper Flagg. Apparently Tyrese Maxey is New Balance.
Yeah, he's in the commercial. I want to say some other light skin brother.
I don't know. Was it Kawhi New Balance?
Jamal. Is it Jamal?
Is Jamal New Balance?
New Balance does a commercial with Maxey, and I want to say it's Jamal, I think.
He's not listed on this.
Shoot.
But, I mean, you know, usually when you say things like that, it sounds like it.
Jamal Murray debuting New Balance shoes. I know what I'm talking about. They got a group commercial, man, and there's some female athlete that I'm not exactly sure
Coco.
Who she is. Coco?
She's New Balance.
Okay.
I mean, you would know who that is, though.
Yeah, I thought.
Cameron Brink?
I think that's who it is. It's because she was tall white
girl.
Yeah, that's her.
Cameron
Brink.
Yep. I mean, so maybe they're trying to become something.
I mean, they are. They clearly got it. I mean, Maxie's good. You know, Jamal Murray probably reached the height already, but good get on Maxey.
I mean, yeah, but like Cooper Flagg is just in a different category than those
players.
But
with Nike, it's like how many more can you take? You know what I'm saying?
You can't take Cooper Flagg.
I realize what he represents for you and a great many other white people.
Come on now.
You know, the hope. But
you can't take Cooper Flagg.
Bro, we're trying to put out Devin Booker's Jaws. Yep. KD wants a new one. Oh, LeBron said his it fell behind.
KD's about to retire.
How many can you have?
We need a new generation.
Need to take him off Paul George. I mean, what is he per, you know? Have you worn the Paul Georges?
Not in like 10 years.
They're still selling, I think. Like, that's the thing. Is how many more can they do?
I mean, Cooper Flagg is bigger than different. Paul George, bro. You could give him the
If Nike
the boost.
Thought he was a game changer, they would not have let him sign. Period. With New Balance. Period.
Oh.
If they thought he was a game changer.
Well, Anthony Edwards is a game changer, and he's with Adidas. So they ain't batting 1,000 there.
Anthony Edwards going to regret that.
I think, well, Nike's going to regret that.
No.
Yes, they going to regret it.
Dude, let.
He should be a Nike athlete.
You think Nike regret Derrick Rose? That did not work out well for Derrick, did it?
Well, doesn't he get a check from Adidas every month?
Yeah, and it's been terrible for Adidas. Terrible. and they're hoping your boy can correct it all.
I used to wear the D Roses.
It's still Adidas shoes, bro.
I like Adidas shoes. I actually used to wear the Dame Lillards. I used to wear the Hardens. I used to wear the D Roses. I rock with Adidas basketball, actually.
But, yeah, I don't.
But New Balance is a bridge too far. You know, and that's where you're coming from. You're like, oh, you know, he has to go where buy the New Balances, because you know it's a joke.
I would tell you that they can pass Anthony Edwards and Adidas, this group, Maxi and Cooper.
You don't believe that?
Just as long as the shoes got something to them, if you want to, you put some pink in them or something, some neons, more like some pastels for these kids, because that's what they love. So long as you do that, you can pass that. You can pass freaking Anthony Edwards. Adidas puts out an ugly shoe to me.
They can.
It's an ugly shoe, period.
It's D-Rose, so James Harden, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young,
off,
Anthony Edwards.
Why
would I take off D-Rose?
He doesn't sell a shoe for them.
That is fake news, bro. D-Rose has a legacy, and that's the problem. Y'all are ungrateful.
D-Rose's own son probably want to wear some Jaws over some D-Rose Adidas.
D-Rose.
And they got a family deal.
That's why this stuff is so hard, man, because y'all just are, what have you done for me lately? Y'all want to waive Derek?
No, the Derek signing was great when they did it, but it backfired. The injuries, it killed them.
Y'all want to waive Derek Rose for Trey Jemison so he can have a spot on this team. I mean, it's a joke, man.
I said that, but you. Nobody's asking for trade, checking for Trey Jemison.
D. Rose gets a seat on that bench.
You said it's D. Rose, Harden,
Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, Ant Edwards.
Man, they got a save for Ant. They got a bunch of dudes that don't impact winning, don't they?
Yeah, that is true. They got one guy that they could really, truly build around, and that's it.
I'd dump the rest of them just start when I'd start over.
Who's Nike's best right now? Who'd you say? Who's like their best?
It's KD, LeBron.
I mean, they ain't selling like that. They ain't sounding like that, bro. Nobody buys LeBrons.
Dude, they're all wearing KDs. LeBron did just have a price drop. I saw it. You're right. They don't buy them as much as they buy
pennies. It's very weird that LeBron is as popular as he is and his shoe doesn't sell.
I don't think his shoe sells. Basketball players wear it, but they don't not nearly as many that wear Kobe's. That's still the shoe of the NBA.
Kobe is their
Kobe
best.
Kobe is the shoe of
and
the
he's
NBA.
He's been gone
still.
For 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Kobe is their best.
And that probably adds to it, right? The posthumous stuff.
No doubt.
But even when he was still here, he still sold like crazy. I mean, Kobe's. I mean, it was different because they were like the low tops. The Kobe's were the low tops. That was the difference.
Like you said, the way it ended, though, that shoe's goated for the rest of time.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And it still apparently feels great to most basketball players. They like that shoe above others.
Yeah. But I think a big part of it is because it is a low top shoe. And every LeBron shoe is pretty much a high top, you know, at the very least a mid top. So if you're like an average height person,
I saw this LeBron 21 lately look like they might have found.
I had a pair of LeBrons one time, and I will say I did like
any.
Them. I did
you like to play
performance wise.
Right,
yes,
right.
They were definitely good, but you would never walk around in LeBrons like you would. Like Kobe had some shoes that you would actually like walk around in. You know?
Oh, I know. I saw it. LeBron. They dropped
Jordan's,
his like
obviously
his $200 release. There you could get them for $75 here.
Oh my god!
Like 2 weeks ago, LeBrons.
Mm.
Yeah, like their 21s or whatever number. Here they are. The LeBron. These Rose jumps.
I mean, they don't look terrible.
No, you wear them. Yeah.
I wouldn't wear those specifically. But, I mean, they don't look terrible.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are lower top than he's.
That's what I'm saying. That's a low top.
They kind of look like Jaws a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, you know, because Jaws is all low top.
But they would not be dropping them down from 200 to 75 if they were selling.
Right.
Like I said. Those right there, those are pretty clean, bro.
Yeah, they're not
like
terrible.
He's got some new ones out that I kind of get with.
But like
his shoe used to be ugly.
Yeah, really bulky. I guess they've changed
really
it
bulky,
over the years.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know.
Anyway, Cooper's not going to experience any of that. He's not going to be on the Nike app. He's going to be on the New Balance app. So y'all better download it.
That's rough. That's a rough.
You going to download it.
I'm not going to download it. I told you.
I know that Maxi has some decent-looking New Balance. There's no way he goes out there in the same ones I got.
I'm loyal
to he ain't got the same ones me and Ron Olson got.
I'm loyal to the swoosh, bro. I mean,
I think it's the 990 or whatever. I can't even remember what they're called anymore.
But I used to have, like, the D-Rose, like, 5s, 6s. Like, I used to have rocked those for sure. Like, I loved those. I don't know what they look like today. You know, they changed so much over the years. But
D-Rose ain't sold an Adidas sweatsuit in 10 years.
Dude, D-Rose is a legend, man. D-Rose is an absolute legend. He sells. He is a breakthrough player.
Okay, I'm going to need to see those numbers after the break. You're talking about he's still selling.
He has to. I mean, isn't he like an idol for so many people?
Yeah, for so many current players.
Right. They're going to buy for sure. And the kids, you know, the kids. No, it hurts because he hasn't been playing. He's not that guy anymore, unfortunately. But he is not going to get waived for y'all to bring in some bit role player, you know what I'm saying, that won't play. I mean, if I have to have a player that's not going to play, I'd rather pay D. Rose to be that player than, you know what I'm saying, whoever y'all trying to bring in. Because y'all know what the hell y'all talking about. Anyway, Cooper Flagg has decided to sign with New Balance. The intelligent choice is the marketing campaign. Cooper Flagg, the intelligent choice. Now, I don't know who came up with that one. We got to go probably back to the drawing board because that's not going to stick. The intelligent choice. That's like the Al Gore documentary, bro. The Inconvenient Truth.
They should double down on the shoes for whites.
Yeah, I think they will.
You know, that slogan would really work, I think.
Wasn't there a player who was called the Inconvenient Truth, bro?
Yeah, Frank Gore.
That's
I think that's what that Rich Eisen, I believe, gave him that nickname. I know Rich
that's
used
who
it.
Was. An Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
That's so good. That makes sense. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's kind of the vibes for me on that one. But anyway, yeah, Cooper Flagg made his shoe choice. It's New Balance, not Nike.
Next story.
All right, Ryan Silverfield is talking ahead of the Tigers season opener on Saturday against North Alabama. A few things. John mentioned it. A backup quarterback is settled. We got that depth chart. Harris Boyd wins the backup job. That's important because, again, Seth Hennigan, while he's shown tremendous durability, you know, the idea that you're going to get through another season with him not missing any significant amount of time, what I'd love to believe in and hope it does, it just doesn't happen like that in college football a lot. Remember Florida State last year with Jordan Travis. So you're hoping to keep Seth Hennigan in there, but that backup quarterback job, very important because you are just a play away, and we know now that it'll be Harris Boyd over Cade Cunningham. Jonah Dillon over the Commercial Appeal points out as well something that's been underlined quite a bit this preseason, how new this offensive line is. Talented, yes, but they've got a new starter at each position now with that offensive line. This is something I was listening to Tim Kramsey talk about last night on the coaches show there on WMC. They got some big dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They got some big hosses up there. But again, the idea, they've got to play together, learn how to play together very early. And we mentioned it, it's a new guy at least at every position. Some switching around, but a new guy at every spot. You've also got the or. We've talked about this before, rather than on the depth chart, rather than the 1-2, you've got Sutton Smith and Mario Anderson. We're both listed together at running back. We know that Mario Anderson led South Carolina in rushing last year, and much like Blake Watson's probably going to get the first crack at being the main guy, but I suspect they're going to use Sutton Smith a lot more than they've had, hopefully in more than just a complimentary role. We know how good he is, too, in the passing game and out of the backfield as a receiver. And again, we talked about it. We got a chance to watch a little bit of North Alabama. I didn't see anything particularly impressive, although they've got a running back who, again, if you're not tackling, he can run through you. A kid they call Juice ran for 100 yards in their loss to SEMO. Also, they did lose a safety, didn't they, John? I don't see that in this story, but I saw it tweeted out.
Cortland Marsh.
Who was going to start, apparently.
Yes.
So they've already been hit a little bit here on the injury side, at least as it relates to a starter. You don't want to see too much more of that. Remember, that defense has got so much to prove after last year. Interesting, I went back and just looked it up just to kind of compare numbers here. Georgia Tech, who had an awful defense last year, coming into the year with a new defensive coordinator. We had just talked about him since we watched him against Florida State over the weekend and did a great job after initially Florida State gouging them on the ground. They were at 94 coming into the year SP Plus rankings for their defense. And the preseason SP Plus rankings considered all your transfers and everything else. We had talked about where Memphis was. Memphis 103.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we saw huge improvement, obviously, not just in the game, but from last season to this season. One game there with Georgia Tech on defense, it's going to be a similar charge for Memphis, obviously, this season. And again, kind of ranked in around the same area, 94 SP Plus ranking coming in this season for Georgia Tech's defense, 103, both with new coordinators, both looking to completely flip it from what it was last season. And that'll be such a, you know, whether Memphis can do that, you know, be much improved there, obviously, is going to be, I think, the key to this season in terms of how high the ceiling can be. Can you represent the Group of Five in the college football playoff and win the AAC? I mean, you're going to have a defense that can get more stops than it did last season when they were just as thin as a piece of paper. So, I guess all in all, not great news about losing a safety that he won't be out there. But all in all, you got to feel pretty good about where Memphis is going into this season opener. 6 p.m. kickoff on Saturday against FCS North Alabama. John said it was at 38.5 point. Memphis favored.
I'm looking at the forecast, and it looks like it could be some rain, some thunderstorms even potentially on Saturday.
Well, that'll keep down the dust.
That'll keep down the crowd as well.
It's tough because you can't sell this home schedule.
Oh, no, it's impossible. You're just selling the team.
Selling the team.
Yeah.
And if the team does what the team is supposed to do, the schedule is not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
People will want to go out, and they'll want to be a part of this. Again, remember, we didn't talk about it, but Nick Saban called you Memphis State. He had some love for you before he took it away.
Yeah, he did.
But it had folks giddy, right? The idea of Nick Saban on College Game Day talking about Memphis State, it had us giddy for a minute because I think he pulled a Corso. Not so fast. At first, when they asked him, he picked Memphis State as the Group of Five representative. But just think about on a week-to-week basis, if Memphis is continuing to win and continuing to look like that team, and they're continuing to talk about them on game day, you're going to want to be a part of that no matter who they're playing down there. You know, UAB, all of them. I guess you can make a case UAB is their best home game. All that said, you're going to want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But, Saban, once they showed his bracket a little bit later on when they were going through the brackets, for those that didn't see it, because I had a lot of people still coming to me today talking about, well, I call it Memphis State. That's just what we do.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't actually pick you, because when they did the bracket, he had Liberty there. And I refuse to believe that a committee that, how often do we hear when they're doing seedings or who they've left out in previous years, they talk about strength of schedule? And you're telling me that you're going to set the precedent, and I guess maybe you can argue they already have when they put them in the Fiesta Bowl last year, but you're going to do it again where you reward a team for not scheduling a Power 4 whatsoever in Liberty, and you're going to let them in undefeated, worst schedule in the country, weakest schedule in the country. You're going to reward that again, but then try to tell us, you know, when you had to go through all these, you know, 1 through 12, seed them all or whatever else, that strength of schedule applied here. How come it doesn't apply to Liberty? So they would be fool. If they let Liberty back in, what they're essentially telling college football is you don't have to schedule anymore. Or at least certainly in the Group of Five, you don't. So Boise State, Memphis, I know y'all got Florida State and Oregon on there. Yeah, that's great for y'all. You don't need it. You can schedule trash and we'll still let you in.
Yeah.
That's why they can't do that this year.
Yeah.
The difference is going to be that Memphis and Boise State, what you don't want to do is give the committee this choice, a two-loss Memphis team or Boise State team, and they're having to compare that against an undefeated Liberty that, yes, hasn't played anybody, but they like that O more than they like those twos.
Right.
So that's the deal. I mean, you essentially still need to run the table in the AAC, win everything except Florida State.
Now, let me ask you this, because it seemed to me that you took great offense.
Liberty's going undefeated.
To Nick Saban referring to it as Memphis State. I mean, why
do you think I took great offense at it?
Well,
because of the emoji where you say
emoji.
No, it's a mixed emoji. It's like he picked us, but he got the name wrong.
Right.
And the name is wrong, people. I don't need to, and I heard it all weekend long. I still call it that. Yeah, I get it. So what? The name was changed 30 years ago.
It was. 1994.
30 years ago.
1994.
It's Nick Saban doing it, so just
take
just
the compliment.
But not when he comes back and picks Liberty.
Especially
understand? So don't argue that when he comes back and picks Liberty, fools.
Yeah.
No, frankly,
it Saban, was lip service.
Listen, there were a couple of things on Saban. He didn't know, number one, it sounded like to me that Notre Dame cannot finish top four. He didn't know that. They had to tell him that they can't go higher than five. The next thing is Memphis State, Boise State, and Liberty are going to be a story all year long and have been all preseason. Why? Because you have a group of five representative that even those on game day, the Herb Streets, the Desmonds, they've got to pay attention now. So pay more attention than calling it. Don't call it Memphis State all year. You understand what I'm saying? Because Memphis State was a storyline coming in. And so you should have had the name right. Yeah, excuse me. It was 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, I know he's paid no attention to what's going on with Memphis football, but no, man, I'm just, nah. Especially after you don't really mean that you're picking him. He didn't have a reason, by the way, that he was choosing Memphis State.
Right.
After he said Memphis State, I think all of them are going to be in there. And then when
he really didn't expound
at all.
Yeah.
No, listen, he didn't say any reason whatsoever.
Right.
And then when the bracket came out, he picked Liberty. So just spare me the whole, you know. We got this over, you know, he granted us this big favor.
And by the way, like, he was like, everybody's talking about Memphis. Literally everybody's talking about
them. They're a huge storyline.
Yeah.
And they're not saying Memphis State, John. That's my point.
That's right.
And so if he's as studied up and up on these storylines as we expect him to be now in this new role as analyst, bro, you need to know that it's Memphis.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So,
especially if you're not going to pick them and pull the whole Lee Corso thing in the not so fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm just glad Nick Saban knows we exist, man.
That's what I got so much of that.
Yeah.
Take it as a compliment, fool.
Yeah, take it as
especially
a compliment.
Especially from Tennessee fans and all that.
Take it as a compliment.
We don't need Nick Saban's co-signing.
Now, I will say,
the Athletic had 11 of their 28, 29 writers pick Memphis.
You are the name change police. I will say that because you will not let us refer to it as the Liberty Bowl anymore.
That's the game.
That it is Simmons Bank. We have to call it that, as you would say the
If you say Liberty Bowl, you got to bring Harold Grader on.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is. I mean, I don't know. Like, Tiger High is insulting. Memphis State is just like, that's how I, you know. But
that's how you refer to it?
Well, too?
You don't. You changed
it. But I've worn Memphis State attire before, like a throwback. You know, you don't even want to throw. I suggest we should do throwbacks. You were like, you said something great. You throw back something great. And that was the implication. That's also why I believe you took high offense to it, because you do not believe that the Memphis State name was great, or the time that it was Memphis State was great. Which
Memphis
one?
State football was never great.
Oh, we had Larry Porter.
Stop.
Didn't we?
Stop.
We had Larry Porter. We had Isaac Bruce. Yeah. Wasn't Isaac Bruce a Memphis State guy?
Yeah, tell me about the greatest season of all time then.
Was it Russell Copeland?
That's what I'm saying. Now is the greatest time.
We beat Bama.
It's been the greatest time since
Florida State
turned this thing around. Memphis. You don't have a history to throw back to, fool. Memphis State throwbacks. Y'all do that on the basketball side. Do it on the basketball side.
Well, we do it all the time.
I know. It's fine because you got something to throw back to. It makes sense.
You think University
you have a rich
of Memphis
history there.
Is a better name than Memphis State?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was fine with it. This was 30 years ago.
Okay.
Do people understand that?
Yes.
We made the change. It reeks of his mama named him Cassius Clay. So I ain't going to call him Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some of that in it.
Yeah.
Now, I know Saban wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing the whole, oh, the name change doesn't matter to me 30 years ago. But there's still some of that. My point is, come on around. It's new now. It's new. 30 years ago, they asked you to switch the name.
Let's play a little Memphis trivia. What was the first name of the school?
I have no idea. Memphis College.
Come on, man.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It was West Tennessee State Normal School. 1912 to 1925.
I'm supposed to.
We don't call it that anymore, do we? It was Memphis State College from 41 to 57. Then they went from that to Memphis State University from 57 to 94.
It's a long time. And I get still calling it that.
Yeah.
But this idea that we should bow down because the guy said our name.
Yeah.
And he said it wrong.
They did.
And then took it back from you. Come on.
I also saw from the Daily Memphian today that it's the smallest freshman class that we've had at Memphis in 5 years.
Believe that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's transfer portal guys.
No, I meant like, you know, like students.
Oh, yeah. Well, too. Oh, I read that too.
Yeah.
That's all over, though.
Is that true?
Yeah.
College attendance is down?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is that just because, like, you don't have to, people are, like, they are just rebuking the notion of institutional?
No, they've long predicted this. It was forecast for years because of some drop off in some area I'm not familiar with. I read this story months ago. I think I brought it to your attention, but I can't remember the exact reason. But college enrollment is down across the board for this age group.
So
this age
group. According to the DM story that I'm reading, it's affected by the failed rollout of the FAFSA, declining birth rates.
Birth rates.
Birth rates?
That was part of it.
and the university's own work to strengthen its academic standing and graduation rates. That's for Memphis specifically. But you know what this means, right? This means that tuition prices will go down. That's just the way it works. When there's no demand.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Supply cost less. I mean, so that's definitely...
A historic decline in U.S. birth rates.
Mm-hmm. Freshman class also down 60% at Rhodes. So
yeah, see, they've been writing this 21, 22. The college age population is about to crash. Like, they've been forecasting this for a while. The national birth rate fell almost 23% between 07 and 22. That's part of it.
That's not great. I mean, we need more educated people in America, but I guess we just have less people in America because of the birth rate. So, I don't know. I mean, declining birth rates, depending on who you talk to about them, some people say the Earth is already way overpopulated. Some people say that declining birth rates are the first sign of the declining society and civilization. So,
this was about Memphis football.
I mean, we can make any conversation about anything.
I'm just making sure someone want to make sure where we started.
Well, we started with Memphis football.
Yeah,
and then
you
we got
me to
the
birth rate.
No, I want to chart this. Memphis football, Nick Saban picking Memphis to go to the playoff by referring to them as Memphis State.
Yep.
Us getting into the history of the name Memphis State.
Yep.
Us getting into our alma mater's admission rate, and why that is destruction of civilization.
Yeah.
I mean,
6 degrees. Whatever it is. Separation.
You know, that is going to happen. That is going to happen from time to time. But
Memphis plays North Alabama.
We'll worry about that. We worry about it.
6 p.m. on Saturday.
Love it.
Next story.
All right, I'm going to throw some red meat on the grill. It is the freshest red meat, and all the dogs are going to come for it. Deion Sanders. Prime. Coach Prime. It's like we're back, baby. We are all the way back in college football season because Deion Sanders has made some news. He has essentially, and Colorado has essentially, banned a Denver Post columnist from asking questions. They will no longer, on Friday, Colorado said in a statement that it would no longer take questions from Sean Keeler, after he wrote a series of sustained personal attacks on the football program, and specifically Coach Prime. I believe, like, he had some nicknames, like, for Deion in his columns.
Yes.
And
including the Bruce Lee of BS.
Yeah, the Bruce Lee of BS.
False prophet.
False prophet.
Definitely bothers Prime. The Deion Kool-Aid. Call him Deposition Deion.
Yes.
Planet Prime.
Yes.
Made basically jokes about his Aflac representation.
Right. So he's decided he's not going to do it. And he got a lot of backlash, as you can imagine, when this obviously, hit the news. He said he doesn't really care about external criticism and doesn't let it affect him. But that seems like you're like 2 + 2 equals Thomas Jefferson. Because if you don't care about external criticism and you don't let it affect you, why have you taken the extreme steps of not allowing a columnist to simply ask you a question? That's where I'm at with it. It does bother him. It does bother Prime that he's not succeeding at Colorado, that he's not going to bowl games, that he's probably not going to do it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it, 5.5 is the win total in the new Big 12? You know, maybe he does it. But, I mean, the reality of the situation is that you can't sit here and look me in the face and tell me that it doesn't bother you when you ban people from asking, like, just asking questions. I'm not saying that you have to have relationships with these people, but it is incredibly unprofessional as a head coach not to take questions. I mean, that's just the basic thing.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you it's unprofessional to go after him the way this guy has gone. Like, you can say he's bad, which you believe, and you can say he's a fraud in how you write it. You don't have to call him the Bruce Lee of bullshit, not ask you, have you seen Calkins, or I guess in your case, Tim Buckley, who is it now, Giannotto, would they have gone after? What could be doing that, you can argue that that is personal.
Right.
Right, you're going past his job now as a football coach, which you should be commenting on. And you're getting into his personal. Deion's got in his contract where, and this was very smart on his part, it has to be mutually agreed on people in the media that he can talk to. And so he allowed himself in the contract, and he's got Colorado clearly on board because of the way the contract's written to push this out. But because you can argue this is personal,
I
can't go all in on Deion here and say, oh, my God, what are you doing? You should have thicker skin. Like, remember, everybody jumped on this dude last year. The media loved him. This guy clearly believes he's a fraud, but he's gone out of his way, as such as you're asking him, how important is it for everyone to have Affleck as part of their life? Like, he's just needling him now. He's trying to get under Deion's skin.
Yeah.
And so I think you have two things here. You got Deion, who should have thicker skin and probably shouldn't have handled it this way, because here's where I agree with some people that have commented on this. I think you give this guy extra, you give him, you put him on even more of a platform when you ban him. You know, there's a way you can handle this and kind of, you know, cold shoulder media. We've seen it around here where maybe you don't reply as quickly to their stuff, or Deion can say next question and you just keep it at that. But they made it official. And so now this is a national story, and as some have said, you've made Keeler, you've made him a martyr of stuff. But what appears clear to me, because I just asked you, where's the examples of Jeff or what we've seen locally? There's a line, and when you start calling the Bruce Lee a BS, and you've crossed it to me, or certainly you've made it to a point where they can argue it's personal.
Well, I mean,
you've crossed a professional line yourself.
Yes.
In terms of that columnist.
Deposition Deion, Bruce Lee of BS, False Prophet, Planet Prime, Deion Kool-Aid.
False Prophet, and you know, with False Prophet, and again, you know, Hugh Freeze was a guy that preached faith and fell, and people will tell, you know, we went through. Deion's a guy who preaches faith and everything else, and so when you say False Prophet, that can certainly be construed as a personal attack, as opposed to you're saying this is a bad football coach.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think that, I do think within that is, there is some fairness. I do. I think that, you know.
And you see the guys needling him with the Affleck questions and all that.
Oh,
like, you've been told he's not going to answer,
exactly.
Now you're just trying to get a rise out of him. And where's the professional side for him? Because I tell you, like I said, we can call Penny a bad coach and whatever. Nobody's going to cross a line to where it can be argued these are personal attacks, right?
That's right.
The media here locally.
I think he might argue differently.
Oh, I think he has argued that it is personal. He feels like it's personal.
But imagine if someone was calling him somebody in the media here was calling him the Bruce Lee of BS.
A peddler of BS.
That's personal. 100%. That's what personal looks like.
I mean, that's what they're saying about, that's what Keeler is saying about Deion.
Yeah.
That he is a complete fake. He's also basically saying, not just as a football coach, but maybe as a, you know, as a man of faith.
Yeah, I think I would have liked to, I mean, again, it's not going to happen.
But I'd still say Deion could have, y'all didn't need to make this official, because now you've really added, people are going to jump on to Keeler's cause, they're going to call Deion thin-skinned, when clearly I think he's crossed the line that most columnists would have stopped way short of.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, because I was sort of thinking about my own, like, when I've written stuff, I've definitely never, I've never called Penny, like, out of his name, right? Like, I've never, tried to be, so it's always been about decisions or strategies or rotations or things like that.
Larry Porter, we joke about it, but right. Did anyone take a shot at him while he was the coach and say, this guy's peddling BS?
I think we just said he wasn't good enough for the job.
You wrote that the guy's not good for the job. He did look at the false starts to start the year, all that.
Right.
You pointed to the evidence as opposed to
I think we maybe got a little personal with Tubby. We'll say that. We got a little personal.
But hello there.
But...
No, I always try to keep it above
board. It was for your guys' own good.
Come on and get some, Tyler.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it above board. But I'm sure he could argue it got personal.
Yeah, it got pretty personal. But you know what? It was personal when he was saying that Memphis should be happy to be fifth, So that we were just fighting, fire with fire there. That's all we could do.
I think what it was more of is pointing out that Tubby is a great coach, right? And Tubby's going to do it his way. And his way, God bless him, is not going to work here.
Right.
Because what he's going to tell you is going to take this long, and this is what you are and everything else.
Yeah.
That's not so much as a personal attack as it is this is facts. This is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And this is why it's not going to work out.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, realistically, it couldn't be more obvious that you are on Team Prime. You reside on Planet Prime.
No, but your attacks got shot down pretty, because, again, you didn't take any, your initial stance was Keeler hadn't done anything wrong here.
Well, I know, it was really more being unprofessional is what I would say.
And
but
Deion's very smart to have it in there with that whole, agreed upon media with Colorado so that he can cut a guy out
if he wants to say that Sean was being unprofessional first, I probably will listen to that. I will listen to that. I will acknowledge that he probably overstepped his boundaries in terms of, taking shots,
Yeah, but like I said, I don't think Colorado's handled this right either. You made it more of a story by handling it this way. You could have just cold-shouldered him. You didn't need to put the ban out.
Right.
Because then ESPN picks it up, becomes a story nationally. And,
yeah.
Again, instead of people talking about Colorado's first week of football, they're talking about, how thin-skinned Deion is and how he's always up against it and he feels the pressure.
I mean, it feels like that.
That's where you were at.
It feels like that for sure. Y'all ain't coming in here talking about how great Deion in Colorado is. I don't see the prime
Colorado. Yeah, that was my next question. How's he going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know.
Y'all love pointing out. I'm sure you're going to let us know every step of the way.
Yeah, I mean, catch all the action on the Pac-12 Network, man. Y'all see.
I expect to have weekly updates about Deion from y'all.
I mean, look, they benefited last year from beating a TCU team that was nowhere near as good as it appeared in week one.
Mm-hmm.
And they rode that every week on this show for the entire college football season.
On the show?
On this show.
They were literally the story of college football.
For a week. But on this show, they were...
No, it was more than a week.
They were... We had to hold them up. We had to hold them up. And, I mean, look...
Yeah, this show wasn't holding them up any higher than the rest of the nation was.
They should be better.
It's funny how fast it's now... Folks that were cheering for him early now cheer against him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because they underperformed. Now, do you think they are a bowl team?
Mm-mm. No, it's going to be hard to be a bowl team.
And so if they're not a bowl team...
They're not good on the interior on either side of the gears.
Right, that's the biggest issue, is the trenches.
That's hard to do in 1 year, is it not? I mean, that's hard to turn over in a year or two.
It could be, yeah.
And they've gone over to Saudi Arabia to try to help with the process and ask for money from them folks.
I mean, that's
they're doing it all.
Really. I mean, that's
shameless. Yeah. Shame. Well, your golfers can go over there and get it, but not Deion.
I don't acknowledge those golfers.
You've acknowledged that you would get it too if you could. So
yeah, that's
stop.
True. I have done that.
So don't give Colorado any grief for trying to go over there and get some of that
you
money.
You got
too.
Me there. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I think we all did.
You got
if
me
we
with
were being
the,
honest with
you.
Ourselves.
Got me with the big joker. So yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but if Memphis could get money from Saudi Arabia that got a championship, I think we'd all accept it.
I hope he doesn't get Travis Hunter hurt. I hope he doesn't get Shadur hurt. These guys got professional careers after you, man. And it's the same thing I said about Jackson State. Like, I've got my criticisms of Deion too. I ain't holding him up as some guy that fixes everything he touches. I told you I didn't like the pulling out of the Southern Heritage. I've said that was good for Deion, not good for Jackson State. Like, he leaves behind things that, he improved for himself but aren't necessarily great situations. Have you improved it? And I'm sure Jackson State still got opportunities they're taking care of because of Deion, but you'd ask the question, have you improved it? Is it better than, how you got it?
Right.
I think that question's still out there.
So did you drop Deion from 1 to 2 in your power rankings of college football coaches this offseason, or is he still 1?
Mm-mm. The guy got dropped was Norvell.
Oh, man.
Deion hadn't played a game yet.
Oh, man. Yeah,
we started TBD.
A lot of people calling for that North Dakota State upset.
I'm a little bit. I mean, I'm disappointed in Norvell. I'll be honest with you.
It is disappointing.
That's not one that you can go over there and, you know, come out the way you did.
It's
those resources are too good. And I think I'm more disappointed in the defense because it was supposed to be better than what it showed. Everybody was telling me, though, oh, Georgia Tech's loaded on offense. And I told Ron on Friday, I think Mike Norvell going to come out here and make a statement. Everybody talking to me, the number got smaller.
Yeah.
And then after that first drive, you know how good I felt about that? You know, about that take? Even better.
Yeah.
So where were the adjustments, man?
I know. Yeah, it was not great. I had the under.
Have we gotten good enough receivers to replace what we lost?
Yeah,
I know about DJ, but
right.
Have we replaced it with good enough skill players? I know we got backs. I don't know if we got receivers.
Yeah, a hellacious week zero. We did get that. We got some goodness out of week zero as we were going into it saying, give us a game. Well, we got a game. Georgia Tech pulled it off.
It was a good game.
And it certainly will have implications and ramifications across college football. But Deion is not taking questions from Sean Keeler.
And you hate it.
I mean, I don't know who Sean Keeler is, you know.
Is he Woody's replacement? Is he really a columnist?
That sounds correct.
Is Woody even still – Woody's in a different place now, isn't he? I have no idea.
Deion Sanders was asked if he feels persecuted.
Oh, you know he does.
By outside noise. And he said, I don't know about persecuted. This is a way of life for me. You guys act like this is the first time I've been shot at. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. That's a gospel song. This is not the first time for this, but as I mature, instead of shooting back or lashing or dismissing you, I want to know why. Like, let's help each other. Let's figure out the why, because if understand the why in people, that helps you tremendously. Like, I want to know why you cursed twice during this segment. If I could understand the why.
Yeah, I apologize for that. That really just slipped out. I was getting angry at how hard you and Keeler root against Deion.
You were getting very mad.
I think I was. Now, the fact that you couldn't see that those were personal shots, at least initially, until I made my case.
You were getting very upset.
I was a little frustrated, yes.
And you know what? I've been there, too.
Because y'all ain't never gone after Penny like that. You've never gone. You didn't go after Larry Porter like that. And he was not good.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I try to pride myself on not... It not being personal.
No, there should be a line. It should not be personal. I think Keeler crossed the line, but then Colorado didn't handle this very well.
Well, I do think, like, these are human beings, right, at the end of the day. And so I do think that Sean Keeler views Deion as a BS artist. Like, that's Deion comes in, he has no connection to the school, he has no connection, he's never coached college football. So he's like, this guy is a BS artist, and I don't like what he stands for.
What do you mean he's never coached in college football? He's funny, he has coached in college football. You can't say that's what Keeler wants to say, whether it be you go be going against the facts. He's coached in college football.
What
do you got to get a Florida State job before you can have a Colorado job? Colorado was garbage.
I agree. I'm not
Keeler
saying
should
it.
Shut. It was hot garbage when he took it over.
But I would bet you that's how he feels about Prime and Deion. That's how I would.
Yeah, you can't let your personal feelings in your writing about him as a football coach.
The job is very, very simple for the most part. When things are good, you describe why they're good, and when they're bad, you describe why they're bad. You know, you don't get to take something that is good, say it's bad, something that is bad, say it's good, right? That's kind of where you get a little sideways. Now, Colorado's not good. I don't think it's a disaster, though. I don't think it's like, oh, my God, what is this program doing under Deion? They have to let him go. Like, it's not like that. We got to give him a couple more years, see how it can he build that offensive line and defensive line out? Can he improve there in this new league? We'll see. But I do think that tends to happen in the media business quite a bit, is that people just don't like certain coaches or certain players, and they do allow that to bleed over into their coverage.
Well, some of us said he shouldn't take Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to be a tough job to rebuild, and that maybe in terms of what you could get done there, the ceiling for you might not be good enough to turn into another job. And saying some of us said, stay at Jackson State, you'll be a king down there, and wait on the right one to open, whether it's Florida State or whatever else, somewhere where you do have ties. And Deion at Florida State, different than Deion in Colorado. And look at what he's been able to do at Colorado. No, not do it all.
but still been able to pull some talent. Imagine if that had been at a job where you do have ties. And so some of us were saying then, even though I thought he was doing Jackson State wrong and I thought he'd leave them high and dry, said, you should stay there. Don't go take this job. It's the wrong one to take. And that could still end up being the case.
Yep.
Because, again, where's the big job that's going to pull him from here?
Yep.
Based on 4 or 5 wins a year? He's going to really have to shake some things up.
Yep. Absolutely right.
I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that.
Anyway, I said it was red meat. That's what it was. Nothing gets everybody going like a little Dion.
Man, you did. I got a little more riled up than I thought I would.
Yeah.
It's y'all's hate that fuels me.
Yeah.
It's y'all's hate of Dion. I'd like to keep it
fame. I like Dion. I think Dion's great.
But you could just.
I'm not referring to you. I'm talking about John and Keeler.
But I'm going to say this.
Whatever my man name is in Denver.
Sean Keeler.
Sean Keeler.
I'm going to say this. I can sense that the excitement on the other side of this glass has fizzled from last year. It was all in, and now it's like, how do we think they're going
to
do?
I think I'm like most people where I listen to this stuff, and I take it in, and I evaluate it every time I see what's
in front
of me. I am not going to say that I don't ride the waves. I love riding the waves. It's why I like being on this side of the glass, because that's what consumers do. We see Dion and Nike and a cool story about a guy who turned around Colorado football, and you're like, hey, here we go. And then you go to year two, right? And you're like, you hear radio. What are you listening to? Man, the roster isn't as good. Maybe that offensive line that he tried to retool with isn't as good. You know, maybe he didn't get all the weapons that like an Ohio State or a lot of Big 12 teams even got. So then you're like, okay, football team doesn't sound as good. And then you hear, what's the next thing you hear? You hear, well, Deion's got a thing in his contract where he doesn't, you know, da da da. I'm not putting this guy off the hook, by the way, Jason. I'm with you. Like, I think there's a line, and he might have crossed it. So I think this is a little more nuanced than what a lot of the mainstream media is.
Yeah.
Am I being an average consumer here on this?
Yeah, I mean, probably so. I'm just, you know, it's just, this was.
I like Dion primetime, Dion. I like Dion prime. I like Dion flashy. I like Dion at Jackson State. I liked all that. I didn't like the way he treated the Liberty Bowl, though.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I don't know.
It's nuanced.
Comparing this year to going into last year, it just feels like
he's not going to have a good team.
The tenor is a lot different. But I mean, honestly, he with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, it should be good.
The guy got like 2 top 10, top 15 draft picks.
Right.
I mean, Cincinnati,
it should be good.
Outside of Cincinnati, though, who's he winning against? Like, it's going to be a tough haul.
Well, good coaches figure out ways to do that. I mean, so
he'll beat Cincinnati, you know, Arizona State maybe. But like, you're not beating Utah, I don't think. I mean,
no.
That schedule's rough.
No, they're not beating Utah. I mean, but, you know, this would have been true whether they're in the Pac-12 or the Big 12.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's time
North
to deliver.
North Dakota State, I mean.
They're big favorites.
Yeah.
They're big favorites. You got to deliver on these kinds of games. But that's definitely one we'll be watching
in
college football this year.
Tough job.
Got Respect Burgers, and then Jason Fitz will join us at 1:25. Sean Keeler just booked for tomorrow at 11:05. We'll talk to him about his positive coverage.
You got the reporter? That's great.
We'll come back. Jason and John, I'm Jeff M. ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.